Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour mes amis, ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Sybil Brunson, Mummy, coming to you live from the suburbs of Philadelphia along the main line. Mummy is ensconced in her new home. Imagine, urbane, city-bred, world traveler Mummy, sort of the anti-Mame of the 21st century, has left Beekman Place and every other neighborhood she's lived in there and has moved to the countryside. No, I'm not living with the Upsons, Ups and Downs, with Glory Upson. Can you imagine? I stepped on the ping pong ball. Just tragic, Mamie. No. Yes, what's the secret ingredient in your Upson martini? It's honey. I think about honey. Oh, delicious. So anyway, Mummy has come to the suburbs. I am ensconced in a wonderful new place in one of the mainline towns. Mummy is being a little bit cautious right now on giving away any address information because of course, my husband is a celebrity, a national celebrity now, and is being seen on television constantly. As a matter of fact, he's going to be on Extra this coming week. So he's going to be on the national show Extra. And we've been it's one thing to be surrounded by 8 million people in New York City in an apartment building with, you know, a doorman and everything. But it's another thing to be in the suburbs and to have people, you know, driving up and coming up on your front porch and scaring the crap out of you the way they were saying. That whole article about Lady Gaga on the Sunday morning show where she was in grocery stores and people were running at her with their cell phones, getting within 6 inches of her face and putting their cell phones there and taking selfies with her. So we're trying to avoid that right now. But Mummy will have a post office box, and if you'd like to send me Christmas cards or find jewelry from Harry Winston, you can do it through the U.S. Postal Service. I am here in my studio, and that laughter you hear is none other than my wonderful producer, muse, executive directress, the head Scientologist. That's Scientologist, not Scientologist. It's none other than Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwen, how are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, Mummy. Very well.
You were a little skittish last week when I asked you. You said, "I'm here, I'm there, blah blah blah." You sound really buoyant this week, even with Mars in retrograde and everything. You sound like you're doing very well.
Well, you know, if you can't beat them, join them.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to remind people that Gwendolyn is not only the producer of Come Now, Don't Sulk, which is part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio Network. She has her own show as well on the weekends, but she also is the founder of DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. DaughtersOfIsis.com is all one word. Do check it out on your laptop during our show. They specialize in essential oils, fragrances, all sorts of amazing products which expand our sense of smell, our sense of spirituality, our sense of intellect, our sense of metaphysicality. And she has been working all day, indeed probably all week, at her bench, as she calls it, her chemistry bench. And Gwendolyn, do you have much of the country, you're in Florida, you're in Port St. Lucie, so I know the temperature has dropped to 98 degrees there, and that's chilly for you people. but for us in the Northeast, it's getting down early this year in the 30s and 40s. And I'm wondering if you have some fragrance that might have some nutmeg or some cinnamon or something very, like, Pillsbury Doughboy spiral rolls baking in the oven. Is there some fragrance you've got that's cozy?
That's for later. You mentioned the Mars retrograde and all of these influences, magnetic influences from our solar system that are giving us such a tangled web being woven before us. I would suggest Black Moon Lilith, and it is warm. It's a time when we face shifting and breaking through old patterns. And it's also a time of the Dark Goddess challenging us to come to terms with the dark of the year. And what is in it is some really wonderful oils. It's got oak moss and spikenard and rose auto and cacao, chocolate.
Wow.
Chocolate, and tobacco flower. It's a honey.
Oh, really?
It's a real honey. And what it does is it calms you down and it makes you think about it. And it also gives you that, it's like a little warm, you know, mist of, I can handle it. I can handle this.
That sounds great. That sounds wonderful. I especially like the chocolate influence in it and the pine. That one of my favorite things that my grandmother bought me 1,000 years ago was a pillow that was made out of like a fine canvas, and it was filled with pine needles, and it had stenciled on the front. It was from New Hampshire or something, and it was or maybe it was the Berkshires, I can't remember, but it had pine, a graphic of pine cones stenciled on the front in dark green, and then some bark behind that with brown or whatever. And it was very folky and very, very Adirondacks, Berkshires, that sort of thing.
You know, that sounds familiar to me. That sounds very familiar. Stenciled on it?
What was that?
It sounds very familiar to me. And it was stenciled on the front of it?
Yeah. It was filled with whatever the pine needles, but then pine, and it was the specific pine. It was the most sweet Christmas tree pine. It wasn't turpentine-y pine. It wasn't like
it was Fraser fir. It was Fraser fir.
It was, and I used to hug it. Like I had a teddy bear, but then my teddy, of course, was named Teddy. Teddy was against me, and then Teddy was sandwiched against me with the pine pillow because I thought that Teddy would like to smell the pine pillow as much as I did. So I would lie on my side. Teddy would be curled up in my arm against me, against my chest, and then under my chin. And then the pine pillow was smushed up against Teddy and me, and I would go to sleep with that pine needle smell. In the summer, it smelled like we had gone camping or were at the lodge by the lake or up at the ocean, whatever, you know, along the Massachusetts coast. And in the winter, it was cozy in a different way. It was like now it wasn't the ocean and open air camping. It was more like being indoors with fireplaces, and it was the ultimate thing. And it smelled for years. It held on to its fragrance for like 30 years and slowly, finally began to stop. And I've looked everywhere for them to see if some company was still making them in Bennington, Vermont or something, but I can't find it.
But it was evocative.
What, Glenn?
Did you ever open it up to see what was inside?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to cut it open. It was sort of like cutting Teddy open to see what was making him tick. I didn't want to do that.
I know
it had become another teddy bear.
I know what you mean. What they used to have little special sachets for those kinds of pillows that would be in the middle.
And what was the inside?
Essential oils of the tree, and of sometimes they would give another drop or two of like another tree, and like I can remember one that smelled like balsam, and it was mostly cedar, but it also had that balsam that came out in it sometimes, you know,
When I was growing up, I grew up with cedar chests and even cedar closets, but this was cozier. This was a more desserty smell than cedar or turpentine or any of the other pine products. It wasn't acerbic or acid like. It wasn't sharp. It was this wonderful, lush smell. And whenever I would tell people about it, I'd share my pillow and show it to people, they would smell and go, "Oh my goodness, that is pine, but it's the sweetest, most wonderful pine." It was like a pine dessert almost. And by the way, it was the most evocative expression of that kind of thing. The only other thing I can think of that was that evocative was making oranges with cloves and making those pomander, those sachets where you put 100 or 1,000, yes, cloves, and your fingers were bleeding, but you were making these wonderful things, and the orange would shrink and sort of fossilize covered with cloves. And the other thing that was wonderful was the maple sugar candy that was made all in those New England factories. And you bought it as a souvenir, and it was always maple sugar, and it was molded in the shape of a maple leaf or one of those things. And that was evocative of that time. Those things bring back memories of my childhood to me so sharply. I mean, I can hear my grandmother's voice. I can hear my grandfather's laugh. It's instant sense memory. Just wonderful. Mm-hmm. I want to tell people at home really quickly. Our phone number tonight is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Do call in if you'd like to join us. You can also find me, Sybil Brunson, on SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com and SybilBrunson.com. And also on our page, the Sybil Brunson Lollipop Guild, which is on Facebook, and which is a place of happiness and joy and laughter and fun and sentimentality and coziness. We have no political stuff there, no religious stuff. We have nothing that is provocative or argument stirring. So if you need a break from today's news cycle, go to Facebook and join the Sybil Brunson Lollipop Guild. Again, our phone number is 323-784-9639. Gwendolyn, what are you doing on the phone? I'm hearing crunching, crisping.
I'm so sorry. I just dropped a piece of bubble wrap onto my foot and hit it. I'm so sorry.
We are open for chatting. I opened the show tonight with the ad that I was making, that I had been in the suburbs only for a week or so, and already I've unraveled and have started to experiment with mini marshmallows and Spam. That's not quite true. I hate olives with pimentos in them. I don't use pimento olives in my martinis, so, or in my brownies for that matter, or in my Jell-O. But it is funny to be in the suburbs with a front porch and a back porch and a porch light that you turn off at night and all of those things, and doing these projects. I put out the trash tonight, and oh my goodness, we still have so many cardboard boxes. I'm trying my very best to recycle as much as my neighbors are. I'm sure down there in Port St. Lucie, you guys are like, you have trash pickup and you have to separate everything out, don't you?
Yes, we have different bins for things on different days.
They're fairly strict here with like what is food trash and what is recyclable, what is, you know, plastics have to be separated according to whether they are recyclable or not. It's a little elaborate, but it's a joy that I am glad to do. I'll tell you, going out at night and putting that out on the front curb and listening to the crickets at night is absolutely heaven. Although it finally was cold enough 3 days ago for the crickets to stop. I don't know that they died, but they certainly are sound asleep, possibly hibernating, because it's supposed to go down to 40 something tonight. So they are definitely tucked in for the cold weather. I'm going to announce one thing that Gwendolyn and I are working on. We are working, believe it or not, because I have now the space to do it. I am putting together a studio inside our home, and I am thinking of doing live visual, like Zoom or, you know, Instagram chats or whatever it is. You people all know those terms better. Twitter chats or Instagram chats or whatever. as part of a podcast. So in other words, we would do the podcast, and for those of you driving cars or deciding to use this as a radio broadcast, and you'd rather be, you know, cooking or knitting or whatever, you can do that. Or you would be able to see a visual version of this simultaneously. We're trying to figure out exactly how we do it. So we're in the works. We're going to actually attempt it this week by doing a Zoom chat with each other and see how we would link that or do it so that it would also be part of Blog Talk Radio and the Here Be Monsters Network. So we'll keep you posted on that. We're working it out. But Mummy wants to decorate, of course, her studio, so the backdrop will be fun, and it'll be neat for you to have a visual if you decide to watch on your laptop. Here we are, having Mummy was in the early days of radio and silent film, and now I've seen my way through black and white TV to color TV to and to think that I started with two cans and a string 1,000 years ago. And of course, back in caveman days, all Mummy had was a loincloth, a coconut brassiere, and a cave painting behind her. So we've done a lot of improvement over the years. So we're trying to move into yet another incarnation of technology with our new possibilities. So Gwendolyn and I may be old dogs, but we certainly learn new tricks all the time. And I think that's what's keeping us so young and vital. Gwendolyn, since we don't have anyone calling in yet, what do you find yourself? I know, see, for me, it's so interesting. When I go to Florida, I love Florida, I love Hawaii. Those places have off seasons, and your off seasons are called June, July, August. The difference between your off season, June, July, August, and our off season up here, December, January, February, is that everyone gets shut in up here. People are tucked away. Provincetown, Nantucket, Fire Island, Cape Cod, all of those places that are resorts, unless they have skiing attached to them, which Cape Cod certainly doesn't. But the ocean resorts, Fire Island, for instance, empty out, become freezing cold, everything dies, and it's chilly and shut in. Off season for you, people are still sweating. There are orchids still in the trees. It might empty out, so to speak. You know, a lot of Florida people come north for June, July, and August. But you can still go for a bike ride or rollerblading or walk around the block in your Bermuda shorts. It's your off season isn't shut down the way ours is. So when it is your off season, it's interesting talking to Floridians about what they do when the tourists all leave and it becomes so-called quiet there. Now, your season, technically, is now building. You people are now like, well, or people down there who own restaurants and hotels.
It's COVID central down here, so it's coming.
Right,
down.
Everything is being seen through the COVID filter. Yes, exactly. Everything's being seen through the COVID filter. However, Gwendolyn, your COVID filter still allows you to have outdoor dining.
Yes.
Our COVID filter, our restaurants, barely got up and running once they got permits to turn parking in front of them into outdoor cafes. However, with this cold snap coming so early, see, our restaurants were all hoping they would have all of September and most of October to sit outside. Now these restaurants, which are operating at 1/4 capacity, right? They're only allowed to have a fraction of the tables outside, are spending extra money now on outdoor heaters, those butane torchere things, to try and lure people in their, you know, puffer jackets to sit outside and eat on Columbus Avenue. It's heartbreaking because they just got August, you know, they got July and August up, and then September is already unraveling for them. What are you seeing down there through the COVID filter? Are tourists beginning to come to Florida?
Well, I haven't heard of any kind of upswing on the local news or anything at all. Mainly the news covers basically it covers just an incredible amount of COVID warnings and new scheduling for children and things like that.
Right.
But what I have seen that they are, there are flights coming and going, but it's as if it's business or family. It's not tourism, you know, it's not.
Right.
And the flights are now supposed to be at like half to, you know, a third filled, because there's supposed to be a seat between everybody. And who knows? I know I won't get on a plane because that's recycled air. I don't care what they're telling you about the filters.
Absolutely. I agree.
People
agree
have
completely.
I know somebody who has flown. They wore an N95 mask, but he's young and tender in his late 20s, and he can breathe through one of those because I would like to catch a plane up to Logan, and I can't right now because I'm, you know, I don't want to get COVID. But
yeah,
if I could get onto a plane and I could wear an N95 mask, well, I tried wearing one of those for, I didn't make it 10 minutes here at the bench. They
yes,
are
I
hard
agree.
To breathe through.
Yeah.
We have, and we yeah. have two callers.
Well, I agree with you. Before we take them, I agree with you completely. It's flying is a no, is not an option at all. But
I do think hitchhiking isn't going to work either. I mean, you don't know where these truckers have been.
Yeah, but I know that where you are, I've spoken to other Floridians, and they say that the outdoor cafe thing with tents, you know, and everything outdoor. First of all, Florida has that already set up. A lot of restaurants already have tons
yes.
and tons of outdoor dining,
yes,
period. So it's not that like you people are setting it up in parking lots out in front of your restaurants. Here where I am in Philadelphia, tons of restaurants, suburban restaurants, have gotten special variances so that they could either turn their parking lots or the parking in front of them on the street into open air cafes.
Right.
So four lane roads have suddenly become two lane roads with sidewalk cafes and with, you know, flower boxes and stuff. Anyway, why don't we take our callers?
Do you want me to open one first or both at the same time?
Let's open both. Let's find out who they are.
All righty. I know who one is.
It's one Pam.
Paula?
Pamela?
Yes.
Pamela, is that you?
It is. How are you?
I'm good, and you sound very bubbly tonight, too. You were a little bit under the weather last week, and so was Gwendolyn. You both were, like, it was thrilling to have you, but you both sounded a little bit exhausted. So maybe this chilly weather, this oncoming fall weather, or maybe we're just all getting acclimated to the fact that Mars in retrograde is a bastard, and now we're just used to it. You know, it's like a battery.
Right?
Oh, he's drunk again, and here he is. Okay, just come in, you know. Don't lock him out on the front porch. It only makes him angrier. Come on in, Mars, and put up your feet.
Uncle Willie, and then It's a Wonderful Life. I'm all right.
Oh, that, wait a minute. That crash when he says, good night, George, good night.
Right.
He goes off camera, and then you hear a crash of glass and garbage cans, and the next line is, I'm all right,
all right.
It's one of the funniest old vaudeville. That's from vaudeville. That's like from burlesque. That is an old burlesque exit where the burlesque comedian would wander off stage, and then backstage you would hear this huge crash. The audience would gasp and laugh, and then from off stage you would hear the person, the baggy pants comedian, say, I'm all right. Or my other favorite one was he would walk out. We used to do this in the restaurant. If somebody dropped a tray of dishes or glasses, something like that. Right. So in a restaurant, you know, everyone's busy. There's the hubbub. People are ordering, eating. A restaurant in full, like in Times Square, full swing, and everyone's happy. Suddenly you hear this deafening crash that goes on and on. And one of the waiters would say out loud, and stay out. And that was our alternative to I'm all right. So some nights we would say, I'm all right. And some nights we would say, and stay out.
I have a one for you, Mommy. Do you know where this
yeah.
one's from? Cockroach!
Yes,
cockroach.
Of course. Victor Victoria, lovely.
I love it.
Yes. Anyway, Pamela, how are you tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm acclimating myself. I am not making aspic molds with, you know, SpaghettiOs and, you know, beans and franks and marshmallow fluff and everything. And Gwendolyn, who's our other caller?
I don't know. It's a 620 area code.
Oh,
so,
well, hello, caller.
Hello, it's Kim from Kansas.
Kim, it's Kimberly, the world's most sacred, sancted, she's sanctified gardener. She could, listen, folks, mail in things to Kim. Lumps of coal, lint, broken glass, old pottery. She will plant them in her garden and somehow something will grow out of them. And she will have the green thumb is not the issue. It's whether or not she has a halo around her head. She has literally, forget bringing things back to life. She gets life out of things that are, like, I don't know. She planted a fork, and it turned into this most beautiful shade tree within 2 years. It was just amazing. How are you, Kim?
You're silly. I'm great. I was calling to brag on your cycads. They look lovely, and they are certainly happy in your new home.
Well, first of all, they are. And secondly, and I'm so glad you brought that up because that was one side note. So many people are buying cycads. And, you know, it breaks my heart because cycads are it's an acquired taste. If you like that like onion, it's shaped like an onion, although it looks like a cross between a pine cone and an onion. But the trunk of a cycad is shaped like that onion dome, except that it's all, you know, rough bark and everything. And out of the top of it come those fronds. They're not leaves, they're fronds. They sort of look like a palm tree,
mm-hmm.
but it actually is related mm-hmm. more to a kind of fern. But this is the thing. Cycads will sometimes shed those. So sometimes you keep getting, it's called a throw. Every once in a while, a cycad, which is an incredibly slow-growing plant, very slow-growing. They're not fast like bamboo. So a cycad takes forever to throw another set of fronds. Sometimes they throw three. Sometimes they throw five or six or eight, whatever. Sometimes they will keep throwing them, and you'll have a cycad that has this lush thing on top of it of fronds going all over the place. But sometimes a cycad will go to sleep. It's almost like it's decided that it's fall and it's going to drop its fronds the way most trees up our way or your way, Kim, shed their leaves in October and November.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't go out in your backyard and cut down the maple tree because it dropped all its leaves.
Yeah.
Just we don't cut trees down and throw them away because they're bare branches. Well, sometimes the cycad is bare. It's dormant.
Right.
Sleeping.
Yes.
But people, mm-hmm. you know, people who don't care about plants and barely care about their pets throw them away. There are stories cycads being dormant for years. There are stories of a cycad being asleep for 10 years. And somebody just didn't get around to throwing it away and left it on a shelf in the garage or something. And then this strange miracle happens where even neglected, even not watered or nurtured or in sunlight or whatever, a cycad will suddenly send up three or four spikes, little green shoots, and then they unfurl in the most magical way. I posted a photograph of it the other day.
I saw that.
Oh, my God. The fronds coming out and beginning to uncurl are almost more beautiful than the finished product. There's something almost more fairy-like and magical, like Midsummer Night's Dream looking about them, because they're like these wonderful things that are unfurling so delicately. And that is, it's coming back to wakefulness. It's Prince Charming has kissed it and brought it back from the sleep. And it's wonderful.
Right.
And I just want to encourage people to, if you see a cycad thrown away on the sidewalk, it's like, pick those up in the spring when you see people throw away tulip bulbs or, you know, narcissus bulbs in a pot with aluminum foil on. Rescue that and put it, plant it in your garden. Those are alive. Those narcissus bulbs, the cycad that's on the sidewalk in a pot, that may be sleeping. And some owner has just decided, well, it's just dead. I kill everything. It's a dead plant. I killed that. No, maybe you didn't. Maybe it's just waiting to be, you know, nurtured back to life. Put it in the sun, water it once a week with distilled water, by the way. No chlorinated, no tap water, distilled water. It doesn't cost a lot of money to buy a jug of distilled water. Water it once a week with good drainage and wait around, you know, 3 weeks, a month. You might be shocked, and it will make you feel like $1 billion to have something like that come back. I'm thrilled.
The ultimate survivors, I mean, survivalist plants. I mean, you know, they've been around almost 300 million years, so you have to be pretty sturdy to walk around that long.
Yeah, you know what? What the dinosaurs didn't finish off and the comet strikes and the volcanic stuff and the ice ages, what all of them didn't wipe out, human beings going shopping for houseplants at Wegmans are wiping out. The poor little cycad has survived millions of years. These cycads, mummy cycads, and the ones that you see, you know, around, they are, as Kim says, they are the descendants of plants that dinosaurs walked by. They are direct descendants. That's why they look like dinosaur movies. They look like those monster movies with the dinosaurs. They look like they should have a dinosaur walk by them. And it's because their pedigree is 300 million years. They have survived things that have wiped out 90% of the species, 90% of the things on Earth. Single cell organisms, plants, certainly all the dinosaurs were wiped out over and over again. And cycads managed to survive one extermination event after another. So when you see a cycad and it's, you know, $12 or something, you respect that little fellow or that little girl. You know, that plant has a soul. It's like a bonsai tree. It has a soul, and it deserves to be nurtured and loved. And if your cycad loses its leaves, ask Mummy, ask Kim, look online. That's what a computer's for. Look online what it wants and what it needs, and nurture it back to life. It will make you feel wonderful. You will improve your karma. You will and by the way, plants like cycads and ferns and everything, they remove so many harmful things from the environment. They are pumping out oxygen and removing all sorts of crap. Cycads especially remove all sorts of crap from the air. Please bring something green into your home and nurture it. You'll love it. What's your garden doing, Kim, right now with September? Is it cold there too? Are you getting cold weather early?
Cool evenings in the 50s and then afternoons in the 80s. So it's been pretty nice. I'm trying to grow overseed a little bit of grass on my turf. But I've got lovely hibiscus still blooming. It's been blooming for the last 3 months. And I have lots of hydrangeas that have big, huge panicles. And, yeah, it's looking nice, but it'll be over soon.
I can't get over how it's warm still where you are. Now, you were living in Kansas, and you've moved to Nebraska. Is that right?
No, I'm still in Kansas, just 3 hours north. And Nebraska's not far off. I'm not north enough that Nebraska's not far, but I'm still in Kansas.
Yeah. I thought you were moving towards the Nebraska border, though. You were getting closer up there. But it still is warm enough for you to be having 80-degree days. My God, we're not even close to that during the day here.
It's easy for me to remember. I'm in Manhattan West. It's Manhattan, Kansas, for real.
Right, exactly. So your leaves haven't started to change at all, have they?
Just very like in the last few days. There's a little bit of gold in some of them, but it's just new.
Hey, Pamela,
Yes.
You have a yard, right?
I do.
So you don't live in the middle of jungle or anything like that. We Northerners never know what you people in Florida have to deal with. I mean, lizards and tarantulas and perhaps
ubangis. I'm surrounded by orange trees.
Oh, okay. Do you have orchids and things like that growing, though, too, there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Growing wild, or have you planted them?
I have not planted them. They've actually just popped up in my front hedge, actually, underneath, that the orchids just started growing.
Oh, my God, that must be wonderful. That would be my idea of paradise. When I go to Florida and see people buying orchids and putting them in their trees, and you see orchids that have been, like, you know, put into a tree on the bark and have been there, you ask
right.
them how old that orchid is, and they say, oh, my grandmother planted that there. It survived, you know, 12 hurricanes. And da-da-da. It's like, oh, my God, paradise, absolute paradise for me. It's one thing I miss about being in the North is not being able to have orchids around me all the time. I love that. I'm going to just tell you very briefly, now that I'm getting shut in earlier than I thought, so I didn't really get to start my pot garden on my deck or in my little front yard here, such as it is in this compound. I'm sort of having to give up on gardening. I'm unpacking more feverishly my kitchen and my cooking. Are you two, Pamela and Kim, do you find as the weather changes, do you find yourself cooking in the fall, such as it is? I know you would, Kim, because you have fall. But, I mean, Pamela, what about you two? What are you both doing? Are you crafting in the kitchen at all?
Yeah, I start usually right about now, actually, probably within the next week or so, I'll start my fall baking. So with all of the different, you know, breads that you make in the fall, the apple bread and the zucchini bread and the pumpkin bread and all
even
of those
in Florida, which is so
bread.
Cute that you're that you're keeping those New York traditions, those northern traditions.
I do, and I take
there.
Them in. I take them into my team at work. So because I would just it would be ridiculous to bake all that and leave it in the house.
Of course.
So I do. I take it into my building, the bank at the work, and you know, I feed my team. So
that's cool. Kim, how about you?
Yesterday I had cooked quite a lot, actually. I Prince gave me duck eggs, so I made frittata and duck eggs for the first time, and I made 2 loaves of banana nut bread. But I don't usually cook that much in one day.
Are you a cook though? Are you a cook and a baker?
Yeah, I mean, I go through spurts, but I like to cook for other people. I don't like to just cook for me, but I usually take mine to work too, or give
yeah.
it to neighbors.
By the way, for those of you that don't know, Kim is a nurse, and you're a nurse specialist. What is your specialty again?
The operating room. I'm a nurse circulator, and I use.
You're
a
surgical,
spread,
right? Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh, surgical nurse.
How are you muddling through this whole COVID catastrophe? I mean, you talk about bravery. You are one of the workers that we have to thank. We thank the postal workers and the garbage men and the police and the firemen and all of those people that go to work and keep the world moving and running. And you're one of those people. The medical world is. You know, you can't just say, I think I'm going to just hibernate during this. You people have kept us going through this catastrophe. And you've seen it up front. You've been at the front lines.
Yeah, and it wasn't, you know, in the Midwest wasn't nearly as bad as like in New York City, of course. And I'm not going to lie, it was a little scary in the beginning. But things have leveled out, and we were back to doing elective cases again, because for months we canceled doing elective cases and only emergency surgeries only.
Right.
So things are getting more back to normal. We're letting people have one visitor. That visitor cannot leave. Once they leave, they can't come back, so they have to remain in the hospital while they're there. But it was really, really sad for me to watch people have to go through certain surgeries without having someone there with them and spend
yes.
the night, perhaps. I don't know. It was just really sad for me to have people have to do that. But, you know, everybody understood and was very gracious about it. But it was, you know, just...
Were you fearful at any point about the whole being infected, or did you just sort of take it in stride? Where did you go in your head during when it first became real, despite the fact that it was being called a hoax by the president on the February 29th? In March, were you terrified, or did your fear build in May, or were you just perfectly okay and just calmly said, I'm going to respect the protocols. I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to be fine. What? Where were you in your head on all that?
We were all pretty calm about it. But, yeah, like I said, we didn't have in front of us what a lot of the bigger cities had either. So
yes.
It was
yes.
a lot easier to be calm. But it was, I mean, yeah, we, in the back of your mind, you were a little bit nervous. But I was pretty, I mean, we were all pretty calm and took things in stride. And we just, I mean, we did what we had to do and protected ourselves.
Were you surrounded by deniers? Either at work or, you know, in town, or did you have a lot of people that were saying, I don't need to wear a mask, or a mask doesn't do anything, or, you know, surrounded by people that were playing the game properly?
Surrounded by people that were playing the game properly. I happened to be at Menards one day, like in May, and we were all wearing masks, and they were only allowing a certain number of people. It was Home Depot. Anyway, a big store. They were only allowing X number of people in the store at a time, and you had to wait your turn to go in until someone would exit. Like, you know. Anyway, there was a guy that was yelling out, people wearing masks are sheep. They're just trying to control
right.
you. And he went on this and was like, I have like sort of just went the other way. Good grief.
Well, we've had some incidents like that in the north, of course. But I was in a Wegmans the other day, and Wegmans is, like I said, my Wegmans is the size of Rhode Island. And, you know, there were lots of people. It was not Wegmans the way it must have been like 6 months or a year ago when maybe it was loaded with people, but there were people everywhere. There was social distancing. People were not like piled on top of each other, but there was a young man, probably in his 20s, 6'3", easy to spot. Red hair, overalls with no mask on, walking around. And I just couldn't resist. And I turned to, a Wegmans employee walked by, and I said, excuse me, I'm new here from New York, but are you people not like adamant about masks being worn? And the woman said, oh no, we are. Why? And I said, well, there you go. And I gestured over to him, and he was about 20 feet away. And she said, oh. And she ran off, and I walked around. I was shopping and picked up some. I was in the fresh produce, and I got that. And he was sort of trailing. Then at that point, he was 30 feet away. And a man walked by, an employee, a male employee. And I said, excuse me. I just want to tell you, we just came from New York, and, you know, we're New York. We're brittle New York gay people. So you can imagine that we're the most evil fag that you can imagine. And I said, and we love Wegmans. So if we love you and we're from New York and we're gay, you know that you must be doing something right because we're profoundly evil and bitchy people. And he was laughing. And everything. I said, having said that, though, I said, don't you people have a mask wearing policy? He said, absolutely. And I pointed and he said, I'll take care of that. And he went on his walkie-talkie, and he got a security guard, and the security guard came up with a mask. And by that time, two shoppers were, like, away from the person, but were obviously engaging him somehow. There was no yelling, but it was like, you're an idiot, okay? It's this disaster is 6 to 7 months old. You're a big, gawky, big bird from, you know, you're a stork and you're an idiot. How could you wander into a grocery store of this size and not think that, and think that you could wander around without a mask, not even a handkerchief, no attempt. And he sheepishly put the mask on and sort of slunked around the rest of the time. But I was standing watching, and a woman with her cart was watching, and she looked at me, and over her mask, she rolled her eyes and shrugged. And I said, what are you going to do? And she said, I know. So I happen to be in an area of the country that, yes, there's a lot of red voters here, but there seems to be a team spirit here mostly. You know, I'm not in Arkansas. You know, I'm not in Kentucky. And this part of Pennsylvania, at least over on the east coast of it, near Philadelphia, seems to be politically correct and active. And so I worry about you. You're in Kansas, you know, and Pamela and Gwendolyn are down in Florida. I mean, I'm sorry. Governor DeSantis deserves to be killed with a shovel.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
I'll go there. Yeah.
He's an idiot, and he's a young man.
A shovel is too nice.
Yeah, this isn't Mitch McConnell's, you know, fraternity buddy. He's not another 80-year-old fart with a brown smear in his underpants. This is a young man who should be up and functioning and should not be enthralled to Donald Trump. And it's like DeSantis was one of the leading governors of enabling people not wearing masks, not paying attention. Oh, your kids can do what they want. Oh, those kids in college are having a fraternity party. Oh, let's just – everything's fine. You know, it's like, no, you're an idiot. And so I worry about you people in other parts of the country. You know, I worried about myself coming here to Pennsylvania. You know, there are Trump posters in front yards here, but I don't see people wearing a Trump T-shirt and walking into Wegmans and then yelling, "I don't have to wear a mask," and "You people are sheeple," you know, or that sort of thing. It's just. I want to ask Kim and Pam. Last year when Gwendolyn and I did this show, we didn't approach it in September, but we sure did in October. You can go to our archives of our shows and see it. That, and again, I don't know why I'm asking Pamela, because it's Florida. I mean, it'll be 80 degrees down there in February. You could still go out and look at your orchids if you wanted to. But
we had a cold day in February.
Yes, I know. It dropped to 78 degrees, and many of you froze to death. But your grandmother froze to death while she was sunning herself. I know. But Kim, as the winter weather comes, as the colder weather and the solstice. I'm sorry, the solstice is about to come, the fall solstice, or not the summer, it's the autumnal equinox is coming and the days are getting shorter.
Uh-huh.
Do you get blue? Do you find yourself getting shut in and sad? Do you have to embrace like more cooking, more baking, needlepoint, knitting? Your gardening ends, so I'm in the same boat when gardening ends. What do you do to keep the blues away as the colder weather comes? What are things that you try to do?
Planning the next year's garden, what I'm going to add, what I'm going to change. Looking through what magazines and what bulbs I'm going to order for spring and fall. And
Oh, I love you. I love you. That's so funny. My grandmother did the same thing. Her friends would do things. Her Canasta buddies would do things like drift through Sears catalogs and Montgomery Ward catalogs. But she would begin collecting her nursery and gardening catalogs and planning her plantings for the next spring. And somehow that would, between that and Bridge and Canasta and needlepoint, that would keep her happy. She would get her gardening fix in the dead of December when other people were putting up Christmas decorations. My grandmother was always trying to figure out what new parrot tulip she was going to buy. I think that's wonderful. That's great.
It's so pretty. And I still go to the gym. I mean, I belong to a small gym that's a nice community of people that reopened. I don't know when they reopened, but they were closed for about 3.5 months. And we did stuff remotely on Zoom together, believe it or not. So I have that, and that helps. And I work full time. So not a lot. And I have a daughter here that has 2 foster girls. So I stay busy.
Well, that's cool. Last year, before COVID, I suggested, I did Mummy's, you know, winter blue chase away thing, you know, like what are the things that we can do? Take up a hobby, clean something, but not make it a chore. So, you know, redo the linen closet, you know, put it in the shelves and paint the inside, and or do your kitchen cabinets, one cabinet every week, or something. Little chores that make you feel nice, but not beaten down. So it's sort of like the Mary Poppins approach of a spoonful of sugar. You know, you do one little project and it'll make you feel nice, but you don't feel like you were a drudge. But one of them was, and of course, this was the big one last year, was reach out to friends. Why don't you do a regular Sunday brunch with friends, you know, and make it a thing, or a Friday afternoon after work cocktail thing. And of course, now with COVID, I guess we could all Zoom it. And maybe that's what we will need to do, to reach out to friends on a regular basis and no, we can't play bridge or canasta or mahjong, but we can do a Zoom thing, which Gwendolyn has been doing. Gwendolyn, aren't you doing your Zoom cocktail things on Friday evenings?
There's a lot of, there's about three different groups of people I do with it via Zoom. Yeah, because, I mean, it keeps us sane and it keeps us connected. And it's not just that. A lot of the workshops and, you know, other lectures and even the masterclass people are offering cut rate Zooms and stuff for folks. You'd be surprised where.
Well, the one thing that. Right. Go on. Yeah.
Yeah. But one of the most important things is getting together with your friends and doing the Zoom cocktail hour. Yes, it's important. It's valuable.
Well, one heartbreak for me is that I have a kitchen now the size of my old living room. So, I mean, I've got like an island, granite counters. I've got space. I've got an entire like separate breakfast nook area that's wonderful that we're setting up from our formal dining room. I mean, we've got all of it. And it's so ironic that now I finally have this again. You know, I've been showing everyone how to cook in a kitchen the size of a shoebox and keep the stove clean while you're sauteing. You know, you've got four saucepans going on the stove, but you can still keep the kitchen immaculate and you can still, you know, use every part of a kitchen. I mean, I miss my little old kitchen from, you know, a few weeks ago, but my kitchen now, I commute from one appliance to another by short rail. I actually, I bought tokens this week and have found that they have a senior discount from the refrigerator to the stove. It's very nice that Pennsylvania is doing that for me. And the other passengers are very respectful. And we all observe social distancing on the commute from the refrigerator to the stove. No one is crowding me at the dishwasher. I did have to speak to a lady who was in my way near the butler's pantry, but that's another story for another time. Anyway, the bottom line is this. I have a house now and would love to be cooking and making hors d'oeuvres and stuff. And of course I can't. It's like, you know, I can't do that yet. So I guess that'll be an activity in the spring, but I certainly would have loved to have done it. I will do Thanksgiving for my in-laws here. That's definite. But to have a whole bunch of our Philadelphia area friends come over for cocktails and hors d'oeuvres and, you know, Jello aspic molds with marshmallow bits and carrot shavings, that seems to be something that will be maybe March or April, you know, before it happens. So I guess I'll just have to wait. But I guess what I should do is, you know, there was a Sybil Brunchen fan club on Facebook for a while, and one of my Facebook friends cleverly called it the Siblings. And to be a member of the fan club, you became a sibling, which was cute, S-Y-B-L-I-N-G. Isn't that sweet? It was so cute. I thought he was so clever when he came up with that. Maybe we should start doing a Sybil Brunchen Friday afternoon cocktail thing, Zoom thing. Pamela, what time do you get home from work?
It depends. I'm the boss, so I make my hours.
Okay. Well, and Kim, do you rotate like different shifts?
No. I mean, I take call, so I can work any shift that we're on the 24 hours I'm on call. Here and there, but I usually am off by 4:30 or 5 Central Time.
Well, I just wonder because maybe. Well, actually, it's very funny that this show is starting to turn into our own cocktail hour. I'm beginning to think that we should just have Steve and Kim and Pam and Jimmy Rasfiopi and George Trahanas. And we should just insist that if you are going to call in, that you just make sure that you shake your cocktail shaker so I can hear ice clinking. And then we know that you're one of the gang. Even if you're only doing Hawaiian Punch, even if you're sober and you're not drinking, you could still like shake some Hawaiian Punch in a cocktail shaker. And maybe we should just turn this show into a cocktail hour on Monday night, and that's what it should be. What do you think?
I like the Zoom idea that you mentioned at the beginning of the show.
Okay. Well, that's a great idea.
Well, that was your idea. I love it. I think that's definitely try and figure that out.
Well, okay. And the neat thing about that is that I can put on sunglasses, a turban, and my mask, my COVID mask, and then I don't have to be bothered with makeup or any accessories. I could be in my bathrobe with my opera gloves and a really expensive bracelet and a turban, maybe earrings, and my sunglasses and a mask, and then I would never have to beat my brains out getting all made up for my Zoom call. So that's a possibility.
I'm telling you, the mask has its advantages. I'm not going to lie.
The only problem is that it really does muffle you when you're on the phone. A mask really does muffle you for a Zoom call. So that's a little bit. But, you know, who doesn't want to put on my favorite lipstick is Revlon's Love That Red. So maybe I'll go ahead and do that. Charles Revson's Love That Red is my favorite. So maybe I'll do my lips and a turtleneck sort of thingy. And, you know, I don't have to wear a mask, but I would wear sunglasses probably. Maybe I still
put
fall sunglasses on under my sunglasses. Yeah, a towel. I'm looking at the time, and we are just about out of time. I want to thank you both for calling in tonight. Kim, Pamela, thank you so much for calling in tonight. You really made my Monday lovely. You warmed it up. I've got the fireplace going, and you two made it even cozier with Gwendolyn and the daughtersofisis.com. You made it a very cozy Monday night here in chilly mainline Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
We'll
Bye-bye.
See you next week. Kim, love you. Pamela, love you. Be well.
Love you.
Yes, love you too. Bye-bye.
Folks, you've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk on the Here Be Monsters studio. We're part of the Here Be Monsters studio. We were brought to you by daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners like you. If you'd like to be one of our sponsors, contact either Gwendolyn or me on Facebook or here, and let us know. Our rates are very reasonable. And like I said, daughtersofisis.com, and by listeners like you. Thank you. We are going to be on again next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think we go back, don't we? We turn the clocks back soon, don't we, Gwendolyn?
I don't want to. I'm not even sure because I don't like thinking about it.
All right, I'll check. I'll do the homework on that. Let's not make Gwendolyn cross. It's the last minutes of the show. Let's not make her cross. So I will go ahead and check that. I don't think it's until October, actually. But anyway, it's 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Do check out daughtersofisis.com, their website. They have wonderful products, and Gwendolyn is always coming up with amazing surprises and things. You can find me, Sybil Brunson, at SybilSez.com. That's SYBILSEZ.com. And SybilBrunson.com, and on the Lollipop Guild, Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild on Facebook. I'm also on Twitter and YouTube. Check out my YouTube channel. I've got like 3,000 videos there now with all the Tourette's. We're going to talk about all sorts of things next week. We're going to talk about museums next week and how we need to be supporting our museums. Did you know that fully a third of all the museums in the United States, and possibly half, may go out of business in the next 6 months, permanently out of business? We have to prevent that. We can't have museums becoming fire sales for the 1%. They can't be going in there and buying Cezannes and Monets and Picassos at fire sale rates because a museum went out of business. This is unwinding and unraveling what J.P. Morgan and the Vanderbilts and the Astors did in the 1800s when they built the museums and acquired art for them. Let's not have this be the dark ages again, okay? I'm going to sign off. I love you all. Gwendolyn, I love you so much. And I will see you next
mommy.
Week.
We will
have
be
a good
here.
Night. Bye-bye.